Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
8 talented vocalist who's performed before thousands, a presidential scholar and student body vice president, the representative of her state at the Miss America pageant, and a committed Christian. It's a biography you can't help but respect, even more so when you realize it's the biography of a young woman nearly a decade shy of her 30th birthday. Today, we go on the road and meet Jackie Arness, a native of Fargo, North Dakota, who was named Miss North Dakota this past summer. She's a senior at Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota, where she's a double major in political science and biblical and theological studies. At the Miss America pageant in September, Jackie finished in the final 16 and was voted Miss Congeniality by her fellow contestants. Now, she's returned to North Dakota, where she's fulfilling her year of service, crisscrossing the state, making appearances and school visits, performing and promoting her platform of empowerment via values, image, actions. As we warmly welcome Jackie on the road, we begin our conversation with a look at the scale of what it means to represent your entire state at Miss America. Now, I'm particularly impressed by this whole concept of being selected to represent your state at something. The only thing that I can compare it to was getting third place at the state geography bee in Montana in eighth grade. That's not really on the same scale.
I don't know about that. Don't sell yourself short here. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment.
That means a lot to me. Miss North Dakota. Now, it says 2014, but your reign actually extends until when?
Until June of 2015. So I was crowned in June. It's a 12-month reign, so a full year crosses about half of my reign into 2015.
Now, I wanted to start asking you about the Miss America pageant itself, because I think just about all of us listening today have seen it, but you have actually experienced it. When you're up there on stage in front of the judges in that crowd, don't you have to deal with some serious nervous energy?
Absolutely. I mean, there's not many things in your life that you can guarantee will certainly be once in a lifetime. And competing at Miss America is one of those things. I knew going into that experience that I would have one opportunity to represent myself, to represent my state, to represent my state organization, including every other woman who competed in my state. So, yes, there's that pressure there, but I feel so blessed to say that the Lord gave me just this portion of peace with that. And of course, there's the little jitters before you go on stage, but I knew that up until this point in my life, I'd done everything I could to prepare myself. And so I just had to go out there and do my best. It may not, for instance, in the talent portion of competition, maybe not the best time I would ever sing that song, but it was good enough. It was a good performance and I could feel proud of it.
So there was a lot of praying that went into that process,
yes.
I imagine.
Constant.
Jackie Arness, she's Miss North Dakota 2014, a Bethel University senior on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. Take me behind the interview question, if you could. This is one of the most fascinating things to me when you talk about nervous energy. How many do you deal with as part of the national pageant itself? Is it just the one that most folks see, or are there a series that we don't see on TV as well?
It's both. So there's 5 portions of competition in the Miss America organization. There's our private interview, on-stage question, which are the 2 that you just mentioned. Then we have talent, lifestyle and fitness, and evening wear. Private interview is the only portion of competition that doesn't happen on stage. It's 10 minutes long, and that's consistent at every level of the organization, local, state, and national. Every contestant prior to the on-stage competition has 10 minutes with the judges. It's pretty much, I mean, no holds barred. I mean, everything from current events to their extracurriculars to your life goals, you know, your professional aspirations. That's all out there. That's all an option for the judge's task. So that's 10 minutes long.
Okay.
And then your onstage question is what you would see on the televised broadcast of Miss America, which is it's obviously abbreviated from the 10 minutes, but that's to gauge how well you can still present an opinion of that caliber in front of an audience.
And is it a minute? Is it 30 seconds that you have for your time frame and your answer there?
So what people would have seen on ABC this September was the 20-second answer period for a question.
20 and seconds.
It is. So you got to be quick. You got to be ready to go. You have to know how to present what it is you're feeling and what you're thinking.
That's fascinating because I can honestly sometimes not even remember my own name in 20 seconds. So, well done.
Thank you.
You said there's kind of a hodgepodge of potential subjects for those questions, but do you have some sense at least? Is it limited to certain fields or can it really just be absolutely anything you can think of?
You can, I guess, anticipate. So, for instance, during preliminary competitions, which are the competitions of the same format that you would see on the televised finals of Miss America, but every contestant competes in preliminaries and based on those scores determines who makes it into finals. During that, it's anticipated that we will be asked a question about our personal platform. And so you don't know what that question could be. It could be anything about it. And then in the finals competition, you can pretty much anticipate that it'll be a question about current events or some type of global issue. At state competitions, it could be anything. It
really
differs from state to state. I mean, it could be anything. Obviously, you have a fear that you will not be able to, in that moment, clearly communicate, that your nerves will overcome you, that your mind will be racing or perhaps not going at all, you know, that you're just going to draw a blank.
Yes.
Because that happens. Nerves do weird things to you. For me, preparation for that part of the competition just came in how do I typically respond to nerves? What are some coping mechanisms that I can employ in those moments to allow me to clearly communicate what it is I'm thinking?
Well, that's fascinating in itself. We're going on the road with Miss North Dakota 2014 and 2015 until June. Bethel University Senior Jackie Arness here for Faith Radio. And I'm Ryan Thomas. That was very interesting what you just said. Could you, or perhaps this is maybe something you're keeping under lock and key, but what are some of the secrets you use for coping with those kind of nerves?
Yeah, it's not a secret. I mean, breathing techniques, you're trying to remain calm. For me, it's, you know, saying some prayers or perhaps having a verse in mind that's been significant to me or significant in my preparation. I always think of Joshua 1:9 and the Lord's command to Joshua, not to take this too far out of context here, but I mean, Joshua just received the mantle of leadership of the Israelites, and that's pretty big responsibility. Like, we're not going to delve into that. So you want to talk about pressure. I think I had it all right with my onstage question.
Of course.
But the Lord commands Joshua to be strong and courageous. It's not an encouragement or like, you know, this will be easier if you just muster up some, you know, some gusto. You'll be fine. I mean, the Lord commands him to be strong and courageous. And I think we can rely on that we have a God who commands us and then follows that command with a promise that he's going to be with us wherever we go. And that's how we can be secure in that. So reciting a verse, taking deep breaths, focusing on almost the self-affirmation of knowing that I've done a lot to prepare me in my life to be here, and that, you know, my thoughts and my opinions are valid. And I always, once I get that question, I take a deep breath, I look at the judges, and then I just go. I focus on giving my answer to the judges. I don't focus on the audience. The only thing happening is me talking to the judges.
We're talking with Miss North Dakota 2014, Bethel University Senior Jackie Arness, as we go on the road for Faith Radio. I want to talk a bit about your life before royalty, Jackie. Take us behind growing up in North Dakota. And I understand as well that you spent a lot of time in Minnesota, families being there as well. But what impact do you think did growing up in the upper Midwest have on you? And is that a recommended experience for others, a childhood in the upper Midwest?
Yes, I would say yes. I mean, I'm a product of that childhood in the upper Midwest. I think I turned out okay. I mean, you can ask my mom and dad that. But for me, I just had the opportunity to address the North Dakota State Legislature, which was wonderful for me. And I got to talk about how I felt my upbringing in North Dakota was a factor in creating the attitudes that I have and just, you know, helping to shape me into the person I am. I think there's a general culture of friendliness. There's a general culture of warmth and neighborliness. That's at least been my experience. You know, if someone disagrees with me, that's their prerogative. But I, like I said, my experience has been just this culture of neighborliness. And so I often get the question, you know, when people ask me about being chosen as Miss Congeniality. I was selected as Miss Congeniality both years I competed at Miss North Dakota as well. And I don't have, like, this is why. Like, let me tell you the reason why I was selected. No, it's like, you don't have that. I just know that for me, growing up here, it's important to know about people's stories. And it's important not to just know those stories, but if you're going to ask, to care. When your neighbor, when your friend is in need, you are the one who can step up and help them. Not just someone like, oh, someone will step up and help them. No, like, I have a responsibility to step up and help them.
That's fascinating. I grew up in Montana as well. Mm-hmm. Or I grew up in Montana, scratch as well. Because you didn't. But I do think that there's, as our culture becomes increasingly urbanized, mm-hmm. I think that there's a certain amount of a focus that you have to have on all the opportunities mm-hmm. that you have. And yet in the upper Midwest, in small town USA, there's still, as you said, that interest in other people. Mm-hmm. And you take the time to ask them questions. And it's amazing. It's amazing the conversations and the things that you discover when you do.
People are incredible. And there's so many. I wish I could think of the word right now, but it's a word for the fear when you come to the realization that everyone that you encounter, that their life is equally as complex as your own. When you think about how complex your life is,
yeah.
and every single person in the world is leading a life that is equally as complex.
An epiphany, perhaps?
It's kind of overwhelming. I wish I could think of the word. But anyway,
that's fair.
But viewing that as what the cool opportunity that is, that everyone you meet has a story about what made them into the person that they are.
Right.
And yeah, I love that. I love that.
Well said. As part of that growing up, when did your faith first become, or perhaps it always has been, an important part of who you are?
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, which was a great blessing. It's kind of the typical story with that, though. I had to come to the point where my faith became my own, that I chose it, that it wasn't just a convenience. That kind of came in phases for me. There was a period during junior high that I was really, really just on fire for the Lord, like just on fire. And then I had some experiences in high school and I was distant. I was kind of removed from that. It wasn't not a part of my life. It just was not this active burning passion, you know. Coming to Bethel was an incredible chance for me to align my academics with my faith. And for me, I engage in worship of God intellectually because I love to learn. Learning is a form of worship for me, because to get to know more about the world that God created and to get to know more about God himself, I thrive in that environment. So for me, getting to learn that I can worship God through my academic work and my time spent learning, that was a huge revelation for me.
That's fascinating, because when we do the things that he created us to do, there's a certain purpose and a certain pleasure
there
that comes
is.
There.
Funny how that works.
It's amazing. It's amazing. A pretty wise young lady is Jackie Arness, Bethel University senior, Miss North Dakota 2014. And we're talking with her today, learning about her story on the road for Faith Radio. And I'm Ryan Thomas. Now, Jackie, it seems that you have been involved in just about every conceivable activity possible at Bethel. And one of the things for myself, when I look at all the things that you've done, I found most difficult in school for myself was handling all of these divergent responsibilities. And I was in a lot fewer things than you were. How on earth have you done this? I mean, how do you juggle all the things that have been on your plate?
I think, obviously, time management is sort of the practical answer, but making sure that you love the things you do and that you are able to engage in those things with a passion, because that passion is going to be what allows you to complete it well when it's difficult. And so
right.
I was so fortunate to be in a place where I felt like I could do all these different things and learn and grow in those ways.
What is our biggest misconception of pageant contestants, Jackie, and how are we wrong?
How much time do we have left here? I think the misconceptions about pageantry is definitely something that I have had to confront this year. Not only, you know, a little bit in myself coming into, quote, the pageant world, end quote, and realizing sort of the stereotypes that I personally had about that, overcoming those. And then everywhere I go, when I have a crown on, people make a judgment about me before they know anything about me, before I open my mouth. And sometimes it's positive. Sometimes people are like, yes, this is awesome. Other times it's like, oh my goodness, Honey Boo Boo's here. So, and unfortunately, that's the general cultural perception of pageantry.
Of course,
is
sure.
That, and you know, to remove it from my previous statement there, but there's people associate pageantry with shallowness. They associate pageantry with vanity. They associate pageantry with cattiness and maliciousness. And that's so, so sad to me, because that could not be more opposite of my experience with the Miss America organization. I've never been a part of such a supportive, such a challenging, such a warm and loving group of women as I was at Miss America. And so for me, misconceptions about pageantry, we're not wandering around backstage like stepping on each other's dresses and like burning each other with curling irons, like smearing lipstick all over, you know, that's a misconception. And, you know, Okay. That's somewhat cartoonish the way I described it. But, you know, misconceptions is that there's not intelligence involved in pageantry.
Sure.
And so one of my favorite things about this job is when I get to talk with someone and I get to see their mind changing about who they think a pageant girl is. So
I was very impressed speaking to that very topic when, before this interview, you started talking about 14th century history. So I was not even allowed to have that misconception formed, because that was right away.
I'm glad we started this interview off on the right foot.
The right foot, 14th century history. All right, I want to make sure and give you a chance to talk about this, Jackie. Everyone in the pageant required, I understand, to have a platform. You have one. Could you tell us about what that is and why you're so passionate about it?
Yeah, my platform is called Empowerment Via Values, Image, and Actions. And it's quite broad. Primarily what I'm talking about is leadership and accessing opportunities, and how our decisions and positive decision making influences the opportunities that we'll have in the future. So when I'm talking with different groups, primarily school aged kids, when I'm in elementary schools, I'm talking about friendship and leadership, and I get to use the Miss Congeniality component and talk about how friendship and leadership are really connected and how those two play off of one another. And also I talk about doing the right thing when it's hard. Treating people the way that you should treat them, even when that's not the easy thing to do. When I'm in junior highs and high schools, I talk a lot more about failure. I talk about some of my personal experiences with failure and what I've learned through those, how failure is a stepping stone to success. It is an opportunity for you to look at yourself, to look at what your goals are, to challenge yourself and to rise to that challenge. So, and then again, talking about positive decision making and talking about some of the difficulties that they'll encounter, because failure, the judgment of other people, that will inevitably happen. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how successful you are, those things are going to happen. And so encouraging them not to be fearful of that.
And I think back to what you said earlier about having the confidence that God says that he's going to be with us everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. Was that part of what was able to help you overcome the failures in your life, knowing that God was there, that he had a plan for you? Was that something that you found useful in times like that?
Absolutely. I talk about the three fears that participating in pageantry, that through that participation, God has helped me face. The fear of judgment, the fear of being judged by other people, the fear that matters.
Oh, of course.
The fear of failure, and then the fear of insignificance, the fear of leading a life that is insignificant or not doing anything that's of significance. So through facing those three fears, which, like I said, the avenue that God addressed those through in me was participating in this and just feeling that security of knowing no matter what I do, God is able to use that for his glory. There it's so much beyond us and so much connected with us. That's the wonderful mystery, the wonderful challenge of the God that we have, that he doesn't want to do it himself. He wants to do it with us. And right. Sometimes it's like, really? Like, really? That's like, okay, fine. We are uniquely created to do tasks to further the kingdom. And no one else can do that like us. If we don't do it, someone will. But no one can do it like us. And we're called to step up and to do that.
Wow, well said. Jackie Arness, Bethel University senior, Miss North Dakota 2014, with us on the road. Our time quickly waning away. We anticipated that would be the case.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, it seems to have happened. I wanted to make sure I ask you this, though, Jackie. You know, not too many public figures these days really want to get cozy with the term role model. There was that famous Charles Barkley quote, "I am not a role model." But you, I imagine, by virtue, as we sit in studio, I'm looking at this beautiful crown that you have. You go out there. You are a real-life princess.
Young
girls looking up to you all
the time. I think I'm
Elsa.
What can I – it doesn't help that my phone case is frozen. I sort of brought that one upon myself.
Do you actually just start singing Let It Go when that happens?
Tempted? Haven't yet. I usually sing The Little Mermaid, because if I sang Let It Go, I would lose them. They would be – It's gone. I mean, they will let it go. So
you have obviously embraced that concept of being a role model because of what you're doing. So what does that mean to you, the concept of being a role model, and how have you really attempted to be as good of a role model as you can be?
It's operating with the knowledge that we will fail, like I said. But knowing that that should not deter us from being the best version of ourselves. If it's going to happen, address it, move on. I mean, that's what a role model does. A role model is an example for someone to look at and to learn from. And you're not going to look at someone and see them being perfect all the time and learn from that, because no one is. And so how do you contextualize that with your own life and learn how you should cope with failure, how you should cope with shortcomings? So being a good role model is stepping up. Like I talked about, doing the right thing even when it's difficult, loving people well. I mean, setting the example of how to be the best version of yourself. And that's going to be different for everyone, but people will learn from seeing you being authentic, being genuine, being loving and caring. That's what people will learn from, and they will model in their own lives.
Do you have plans for what someday vocationally you'd like to do? Did I see correctly that you are thinking about pursuing a law degree after this as well?
Yep.
So is it going to be governor, senator?
Oh, I don't know about
president?
That. I'm not. Yes. I don't know. I usually put, chief justice of the Supreme Court on my dream job.
That's classy.
But, I hear that there's not a lot of openings for that. It's not really a career that's in high demand. I'm hoping after completing this year and making sure that I'm all squared away with my undergraduate studies, I'll go on to law school, get my JD, and then eventually spend some time abroad. I'd like to return to the Middle East. I spent some time studying there in 2013, but learn Arabic in the Middle East, and then eventually go on to a career in foreign policy. So whether that means working for the federal government, or whether that means working for a nonprofit or a private firm in litigation and mediation. But I'd love to be an actor in improving Western relations with the Arab world, because I think the Arab world will continue to grow in political and economic and social influence. And I think macro political conflict stems from micro cultural misunderstandings. And I'd love to be an actor in alleviating some of that tension.
Fascinating. Well, once again, we thank you so much for being with us on the road today. It has been truly fascinating. And I think that, all across the upper Midwest, people, as we've said, are aware of what Miss America does. But you have given us some remarkable insight into how your faith really impacted you in this remarkable place. So thank you once again for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
And our thanks to you for joining us for this week's edition of On the Road. If you'd like to learn more about Jackie and her message, you can find her online on Facebook. Her page is called Miss North Dakota 2014. And on Twitter,
You can catch her at Jackie Arness, and the spelling on that is J-A-C-K-Y-A-R-N-E-S-S, at Jackie Arness on Twitter. And if you missed even a moment of our conversation today, you can find the full podcast of this edition of On the Road and our entire show archive when you visit myfaithradio.com and just look under programs. Special thanks this week to our producers, Carissa and Cal, and our executive producer, Richard. I'm Ryan Thomas for Faith Radio. We'll meet you back here next week at this time for another trek together on the road.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.